Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
So let's talk about the clothing business.
Clothing business.
So yeah. $300 million in sales.
Yeah.
That's what that says?
I guess so. I guess so.
A king of oneself.
I guess so. So Akul's 12 years old, though.
Yeah.
I started in 08.
So how did that work as far as getting into clothing business? I'm assuming it's a lot different than the music business. Like, what is it the same? Is it like distribution deals? Like, how's that work?
It's kind of the same.
Okay.
It's kind of the same in a sense. I mean, of course, it's different the way that the money, you know, busts down on the end, a lot more recoupables and things of that nature because it's hard goods, right? You know, but same thing, right? For us, we knew once we caught momentum, we knew there's certain areas to go to. You know, we knew that fashion was one of them. Think like during this era, everybody was wearing white tees. If you was in the South, Cash Money, everybody wearing white tees, right, in the South, you know? So to me, it was a no-brainer. Here we go, we got a good-looking dude, all of that. So put some clothes on him, dress people up, you know? So we started the brand at the time when people thought that Artist Brands was dead, actually. That was the funny part about it. Like, people was like, yo, that shit don't work no more. It's played out. Like, no more Artist Brands, Rockaware and Sean John, and you know what I'm saying? Like,
it just phased out.
That just kind of died out for real, you know? And we went and we met with, like, a lot of people. Like, people that was in the business. Russell Simmons and David John and Seth, who was Mark Echo's partner, and Echo and Complex and all that stuff, you know? So we met with just a lot of people in the business and just told them, like, yo, this is what we're trying to do. Like, what's up? Like, you know, and it's kind of like music. Like, some people put offers on the table, and then you start, but as you go from meeting to meeting, you kind of learning as you're in these meetings, right? Like, damn, he said this, but he said that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, so you learn it, so you learn the game too, and we pretty much went a route to get more direct to, like, a distribution company manufacturer as opposed to signing, like, through another record label, so to say. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we went more direct and did a deal with a company called the RP55 Group and launched the Cool in 08.
Yeah. Dope. And that's still in existence today?
Yeah, still in existence today. We started a Cool in 08, and then in 09, I started another brand called Strivers Row.
Yeah. You know? I want to get into that. Because even Strivers Row is important because, first of all, the name.
Yeah.
And why you chose it. I obviously did New York roots there, but I don't think people even understand why you chose Strivers Row as a name.
I mean, Strivers Row, you know, it's a block in Harlem, you know, that is notoriously historical for the roots, specifically during the Harlem Renaissance. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a lot of, like, the leaders of the Renaissance that lived on this block, you know, politicians, writers, Langston Hughes, like, all type of people lived on this block, you know. And prior to them being able to live here, they didn't want to, white people, the owners of these buildings, they didn't want to sell the buildings to black people. So they kind of sat vacant for a while, you know, and eventually they sold. And at that point, it was like well-to-do black people in a sense, right, that was able to afford to buy. And this block was just popping. It was, like, very influential. So when you hear the stories, you know, about Strivers Row, if you read the stories and the history, it's kind of like a different version of Black Wall Street, you know what I'm saying,
right,
from a creative standpoint, more so than a financial standpoint, you know? So when I heard the story, when I heard the name, I thought it was dope. I always did. Shout out to Dennis Murphy, my man D. He definitely, we kind of talked about the name, and I was like, yo, I'm about to name my company that, you know, and that's how I named it, Strivers Row.
Let me ask you a question about licensing, because Cool, you said you had to license something for Muhammad Ali and Marvel.
Yeah.
What was the deal with that? How'd that work out?
That went good. Muhammad Ali went really well.
What was it, like, his likeness?
I mean, really, like, yeah, his likeness. Okay. So everything. So literally, you know, we did a whole capsule name, you know, we took DNA, butterflies, you know what I'm saying, like, and brought it butterflies on sweatsuits, you know what I mean, like, but of course we had t-shirts with, boom, his face on them as well, so we did a combination, you know, same thing with Marvel, we've done something like that as well with the Ewan brand, not really, Ewan brand was a collab, that wasn't a license, so our two licenses have been those two so far, we're actually working on something right now that could be really dope.
So how does that work for, like, because we spoke about licensing before, but not from that standpoint of, like, you actually are the one that's paying the license.
Right.
Yeah. Like, for entrepreneurs that may be listening, they might not be aware of how that works. Sure. Like, can you explain, like, is it, like, a set amount that you have to pay them every time, like, royalties?
Sure, absolutely. So if I'm the brand and you have a brand that I want to license, you know, now, typically, or how about this? I'll flip it. If you guys want to license my brand,
all right.
And now I have a brand. Now, typically, for me to give you a license, the standard is like an 8-12% royalty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, on top of that, I may have an advance that I want against my earnings, though, right? So now I may say, hey, like, I need $50,000, and then on top of that, I need 8-12%, whatever that number is. Like, we can agree on 12, 8, whatever, you know? Not to say that somebody else might not say, not to say that someone else may not do a deal for 20%, but 8 to 12% standard. Exactly. You know, so that's how that pretty much works.
Okay.
So you go to Muhammad Ali, go to the estate who owns the rights, cut a deal with them, get them their royalty, get them their advance, get the work. And I try to make it make sense.
Is it on total merchandise sold or is it each piece of merchandise sold? The royalty?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's literally per whatever you're doing. Anything that has the likeness on it counts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like records, like albums. So very similar, right? Every album sold, they get royalties. Okay.
If you're using this property, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Like, it's the same thing, right? If you're using my trademark, boom.
So what was the difference? Because Muhammad Ali, obviously, that's a family versus Marvel, which is a billion-dollar entity.
Sure.
I guess it was a lot harder with the Marvel, more like paperwork and lawyers and stuff like that? Or?
You know what? Not really, for real. That's the funny part is you would think it is, but like with Marvel, they give out so many licenses.
Something, they do it so much.
They do it so much. They like exploiting it so much, for real, that that's something that we learned, honestly. It was like it was good to do it, but it wasn't as profitable because while you got your product in stores,
17 other people got it.
They got it in Walmart and Target.
What Marvel character did you do?
Man, we did. I couldn't speak on them. I had to look at the phone.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But like we did a lot of them, man.
Yeah. They probably were just sitting on the other side like, oh, that's a character. Press the button.
You know what? I wonder if Ghostface had to ever pay Marvel.
They should pay him.
They should pay him.
They should pay him.
But I wonder if he ever had to pay him.
Interesting.
He had a whole album called Iron Man.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's was his moniker for years.
Yeah. But that's interesting, though. Who should pay who, though, right?
They should pay.
They should pay him.
At that time, and I was into comics. Like, I had the Marvel cards, the series, like 91, 92, when you used to collect with the hologram cards.
Yeah.
I collected them. And then they started getting cartoons. But, like, when Ghostface started saying that, and it was like, yo, cartoon characters, even like everyone in Wu-Tang had like an alter ego character.
Sure,
they made it popular. They didn't have a Marvel movie then. Like, the first, Marvel didn't even put out movies till later. Like, the first thing Sony did was partner with them and put out Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, now cartoon movies can be a thing.
Yeah.
But prior to that, nobody was thinking about it. I mean, DC had it with Batman and Superman, but Marvel was real quiet on that side.
Yeah. I was never a collector, so I can't speak too much, but that's interesting.
Yeah. No, that's interesting, because it's like, I can see it from both sides.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you took their thing,
You made your whole thing on my thing.
Exactly.
So you think about it, like, if you was the person who made the originator, and the person that took your joint and ran with it and made a life of his own, come say, yo, you should pay me. You would be like, huh? You didn't pay me, though.
It was dead in the water.
It was me before that was you.
That's a fact. But he did help the brand.
I'm sure, free promotion.
But we see how many times have we seen that in hip hop culture?
Clearly, we definitely know that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's interesting.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.